Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I want to give a shout out to my friends at Golden Oak Lending. They've been helping a lot of BFT listeners. You can go to goldenoaklending.com if you want to take advantage of their Zipline mortgage portal. That's goldenoaklending.com. Want to refinance your house, take some cash out, shorten the term of your loan? goldenoaklending.com. That's the website you need to know about. We talk a lot about the Pac-12 conference on this show, and in particular, like, you know, the narrative for the Pac-12 hasn't been a positive narrative in several years, but I pay a lot of attention to what's going on across the conference, and in particular I have been focused on the Los Angeles schools, because you can gauge some of the health, or maybe even a lot of the health, of the Pac-12 conference on how good is the Southern California sports scene when it comes to football and basketball in particular? But also, I think you can look at sort of how well the Pac-12 recruits Southern California. And it was not lost on me when Oregon State was on its Elite Eight run that, you know, you had Jared Lucas, a Southern California kid, and you had, you know, Ethan Thompson, a Southern California kid, both helping Oregon State get to the Elite Eight. You had USC, which, you know, did a remarkable job, I thought, getting themselves to the Elite Eight. You had, of course, UCLA in the Final Four. But I think you can look a lot at sort of the high school sports scene in Southern California, and you can gauge the health of the Pac-12 conference at how well they're recruiting. And you know, when those athletes come through the programs, as, you know, we saw the Ball brothers, we saw the Bagley brothers, what else is on the horizon? Well, the person who I think is the best, the foremost expert on this, covering high school sports for the LA Times since 1997, and in Southern California since 1976, Eric Sondheimer, Los Angeles Times, joining us now. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And Oregon always does a good job recruiting Southern California, for sure.
Let's talk about that, because you and I were messaging a little bit while Oregon State was moving through the tournament. And, you know, it's like you were watching these kids that you covered 4 or 5 years ago, Jared Lucas and Ethan Thompson. And, you know, you get a chance to see these guys blossom in college. What is that like for you to watch it?
Yeah, it was really fun this year because it was so much emphasis on Southern California for the Pac-12 when it was doing so well. As you pointed out, I mean, Oregon State, the Thompson brothers were great players. Lucas had come on strong. UCLA had like 5 players who were star players in Southern California and helped propel that Final Four run. And, of course, USC had the brothers at center. And so it was a good time. Southern California high school basketball had really come on strong in the last few years, so I was not surprised. So many players had moved to Southern California and ended up staying, and so we were at a high point. And so we'll see what happens here in the future. I don't think the talent level is anywhere close to what it's been in the last couple of years. I mean, I was at the game a couple of years ago where you had Modern Day playing Chino Hills, and you had Bishop Montgomery playing Sierra Canyon, and you had like 4 or 5 pro players in that game. It was sold out at Galen Center for USC, and it was amazing semifinal that I'll never forget.
You go back to 1976, Eric, and you have seen sort of the cycle of talent come through. Is it something you can predict, or do you just kind of watch to see like the incoming freshman and sophomore high school players, and then you go, okay, we got a wave coming, as you see the Bagley brothers or the Ball brothers or even the Thompson family, who has a long history?
Well, for basketball, it's all about who wants to move to the area, because it's changed so much. People really don't go to their neighborhood high schools anymore. It's all about the club situation, and if people make relationships, they're ready to move from Georgia or or Boston or anywhere. And that's what happened in basketball the last couple of years. You had LeBron James moving his son out here. They obviously got trades that are, he signed with the Lakers. Then others will follow. We've had, we have a lot more sons and daughters of professional athletes that are growing up in Southern California. Sierra Canyon's girls basketball team has the daughters of Gilbert Arenas and Zach Randolph, who are freshmen and great players. So we're kind of seeing the growing up of these sons and daughters of athletes, and it's happening obviously at a lot of different levels. In baseball, Eric Carroll's sons were great players at MiraCosta. They're now at UCLA, and so you're seeing it at a lot of different levels.
We're talking to Eric Sondheimer, Los Angeles Times. He's got his finger on the pulse of high school sports in the region. The Ball brothers and Bagley brothers, how entertaining was that, and how interesting was that for you to cover sort of that this era?
Yeah, well, the Chino Hills was just on another level, not even close to, even though Sierra Canyon has had some amazing athletes and stories, Chino Hills was just different. I mean, they were so entertaining, and all the players actually said, we want to entertain, and their coach let them. That was the big difference. If they wanted to shoot a 30-footer, they shot a 30-footer. If they wanted to throw the ball off to the backboard for a dunk, they threw it off the backboard. I remember having to show up 2 hours before games, and I have my pass to get in, but it would be so crowded, I wanted to make it before the traffic and all the circus started. And then you had Mr. Ball holding court before the game, willing to take pictures and sign autographs and talk to anybody who wanted to come up to him. And what made them different is they were a public school team. They went unbeaten the year when Lonzo Ball was there and all three brothers were playing. And so they were somebody to really root for because they were kind of the underdog. They were beating the so-called private schools. They beat modern day and the winningest coach in history, Gary McKnight, by 50 points in a playoff game. I'll never forget how shocked they were. But I was not shocked they were that good. Chino Hills, four of the five players are going to ended up being, all five starters ended up being college or whatever players. And right now, three of them are in the NBA.
You mentioned LeBron's son, Bronny. I think he's at Sierra Canyon. How good is he as a player?
Well, I was impressed with him at last season as a freshman for his skills and being poised and not letting anything overpower him, all the attention and interest. You saw that he had a lot of potential. I saw him briefly as an eighth grader because I wanted to be able to see this, how he would improve, and I thought then that he could be like LaMelo Ball as far as an advanced player, and then I think he's going to keep on growing and getting stronger. Obviously, he has a great support system. He hurt his knee, so he's probably not going to play this season, so he'll be needing to pick it up in the off season. But I think he has a good future. There's no guarantee that he's going to be a star in the NBA quite yet, but he will be a good player down the road.
What has gone on with high school basketball? Because in the state of Oregon, as of a week ago, we were concerned that the season was going to be shut down. It's now looking like it's going to happen here in about a 6-week flurry. But what's going on in Southern California? Have they already played their season? Where are you?
Yeah, so it's a good adjective, flurry or whatever, because they've been playing for about a month at the southern section, we call it, the largest section here in Southern California. But the LA Unified School District just got into the gyms this week, so they're going to have a 3-week regular season and then immediately go into the playoffs, and then there's going to be state regionals. There won't be any state championships. So it's better than nothing. We still get a chance to see some top teams. But I think there's problems on the horizon because they're going to try and hold playoffs in June, which is also the time that travel ball tournaments are going on. So some of these rosters are going to be in flux. I think a lot of players are going to decide to go and play for their club team because that's where a lot of college coaches are going to be at. And so I think there will be an interesting time next month in the middle of the playoffs. But it's good that they're getting back out there. There's a little bit of normalcy. We've done a good job in California vaccinating, so if the future is looking good, L.A. County is in the yellow tier, which is the least restrictive, and so hopefully by June 15th, the governor said that all restrictions are going to be mostly gone. So I think things are looking up.
Eric Sondheimer, Los Angeles Times with us. The success of USC and UCLA and the Pac-12 in general in this last NCAA tournament Do you think that sort of equates that more Southern California star basketball players look to the Pac-12, or is it too soon to say that?
No, without a doubt, UCLA is on momentum. It's a big boost because of what they did. They got two of the top juniors already to commit, Amari Bailey out of Sierra Canyon and Dylan Andrews out of Windward, two outstanding guards. I was talking to Bailey the other day, and he said he sat in his house cheering with his UCLA gear on at that Final Four tournament. I mean, there's no telling about how huge that was and the impact it's going to have just on Southern California alone, but also you'll see nationally they'll be right into to be able to get into houses again. You know, June 1st, the college coaches are finally going to be allowed to get out of their campuses and bring in players, so the dead period is over. And I look for that to happen. USC's bringing in Harrison Hornery from Modern Day, an outstanding three-point shooter. So there's no question that that's going to help. And it's not just going to help in basketball. It's going to help in a variety of sports, football and volleyball and water polo and other things. And it will also help in Oregon, too. I think right now Arizona is behind because their basketball program is facing NCAA sanctions. They just hired a new coach. So I think Oregon can slip in as the school from out of California to maybe compete for some of those other top athletes.
I was at the Coliseum watching Oregon and USC play a couple of seasons ago, and was just struck by how many Southern California football players were on Mario Cristobal's roster. How is it that Oregon has been so successful going into Southern California and taking football players out?
Well, it's because of their facilities. Whenever I talk to kids who come back, they just rave about the facilities they have. And I'm very familiar with the number one player, and that's Kayvon Thibodeau. He came out of Dorsey High in Oaks Christian here. He's very smart, a great defensive end. He could be the number one pick in the NFL draft next year. He took a risk to go into Oregon because it was far away, but he believed in himself, and he's taken advantage of the support system. And as long as he stays focused and doesn't read the press clippings, and really keeps working hard, he has a great future. But I think he's smart enough to understand it's not just about what you were this past year. It's about the future, and people want his position, and they are going to try and take it from him. And he needs to stay focused if he wants to get to where he wants to go.
We watched the SEC pull some players out of Southern California, in large swaths in recent years. How do you think the pandemic will affect the decisions that kids are making? What are they telling you now about sort of their college decisions? Do they want to stay closer to home?
It has been more difficult to make that decision because you've had to rely on the virtual tours. But I think more important is how well is somebody who's already there doing? And it's going to be interesting because we have Bryce Young out of Modern Day. He's probably going to start at quarterback for Alabama. You have DJ Ukulele, who's going to start for Clemson at quarterback. You have Matt Corral from Long Beach Poly, who's going to start at Mississippi. So if all those people do well, then the people in Southern California are going to see that and see that they could go in and do just as well. So that's kind of more important in my mind. Most of these people want to play. In college football, with the craziness of the transfer portal, they know that they might want to take a risk because then they can go on it and just go back. And that's what's happened. You saw that in Ethan Garber's. He signed out of Corona Del Mar with Washington as a quarterback and now is back at UCLA. So the transfer portal has created a whole new situation. Personally, I hate it. It's kind of like high school sports. You know, high school sports now, there's so many transfers, and now the colleges have adopted it, and they will forever be against it down the road because it'll be like AU ball. You're with somebody for a year, and yeah, maybe it will work out, but it's really not a whole lot of loyalty going on right now.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Eric. It's hard for me to watch, and I even have a kid who plays club volleyball, and I watch kids jump around from that scene club to club, and I go, come on, where's the loyalty to the program? But it has bled all the way through college, and we really see it in the pros too with free agency as guys are moving around. Eric Sonheimer, Los Angeles Times, with us. All right, let's go back in your career all the way to 1976. Give me the best football player, prep football player, and the best basketball player you've ever seen.
Well, it's very fortunate that the best football player was the first one I ever covered, a Hall of Famer, John Elway, showed up right when I started to cover at Granada Hills High, moved in from Washington because his father, Jack, was named the head coach at Cal State Northridge. Nobody before and since or since has had the arm of him. He also was a great baseball player, obviously became All-Pro, Hall of Famer at the Denver Broncos and Stanford. So that was an easy choice. Basketball is a little bit harder. I've been around so I got to see Don McLean, who was great, out of Simi Valley and UCLA. The Collins twins were terrific, Gilbert Arenas, and the Ball brothers. So we need to see what happens with Lonzo and LaMelo Ball, how they turn out. So a lot of basketball players.
One of my researchers tells me that Baskin-Robbins sent you a coupon for a free scoop of ice cream for your birthday yesterday. But it's not your birthday.
That was nice. Only 7 months late. So I'm glad it eventually arrived.
So I love it.
I will get to use that before May the 15th. So it was a good omen yesterday. And I got to go out and watch a high school game and see a catcher who I think one day is going to be a major leaguer. So it was a good day to go out and see somebody that you notice have the mannerisms and the talent to one day make it the next level. And that's the fun part for me of being in Southern California. Really, if you ask me the question, what's the best sport, it's baseball by far. Mm. We've had so many Hall of Famers and professional athletes out of high school baseball here that I will see a future Hall of Famer. You know, you can see it any week, and that's how good baseball is out here.
Somebody ought to make you a scout. You know what I mean? You've seen it so long. You know it when you see it, don't you?
I love finding pitchers because I really look for ones who throw strikes, and others just look for ones who throw 95 miles an hour, and they're so wrong. I mean, I was there to see Brett Saberhagen and Jeff Suppan and Jack McDowell, and all of them became good players because they were throwing strikes. So I do believe that I know what I'm doing when it comes to evaluating pitchers. Hitters, I'm less confident on, but pitchers, I could give you a good evaluation.
You worked for the National Sports Daily. You have been at this a long time. I got to know, more than 40 years in the business, Eric. When you were a kid, did you want to be a sports writer, or when did this become your thing?
Yeah, absolutely. From junior high on, I was working for my school paper. I have a brother who's 3 years older, so he was involved in newspapers and later got involved in PR. So, yeah, it's been a long odyssey, you know, taking down scores, being a basketball manager, looking behind the scenes to see how things work. So it's worked out really well. But the thing that's different, I guess, is sticking with high schools, because when I was growing up, everybody put you in high schools to prepare for the next level, you know, to move up and be a beat writer for the major leagues or NBA. And I kind of stuck it out in high school so while the others moved on. So it's always been my pleasure because I've never been bored being up in Southern California. That it's so big and the talent level is so good that every year you come upon somebody really special. And when I went to the LA Times, that really made it even easier because I have over 500 schools to cover. So I get to pick and choose what I want to write about and who I want to see. And there's so many options and things that it makes it a fun week. And I much prefer writing about somebody new than writing about an athlete the same time every game, whether you're writing about LeBron James or the old days, Kobe Bryant. I don't want to write 82 games about Kobe Bryant or LeBron James.
You can read Eric Sondheimer in the LA Times. His column today is on a tall redhead who is a pitcher in softball who has a famous grandfather. Let's talk about that before I cut you loose. This is grandchild number 38 for Vin Scully. That is pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And she's a redhead, the only girl that has red hair out of 23 granddaughters. So she's must have a special place in the heart of Vin Scully. She's a great pitcher. She's headed to Seattle University. And one reason she picked Seattle is because it doesn't have hot weather. She melts under hot weather because of her hair. So she wanted to go in a colder environment. And she made it clear she didn't want the story to be about her grandfather, and I appreciate that. So I kind of low-keyed it because she wants to be known for her own skills. But she loves Mr. Scully, who's beloved in Southern California. And I think it's great that he has 38 grandchildren.
Wow, that's really cool. Read Eric Sondheimer in the LA Times. Follow him on Twitter. Eric, we'll bring you back on. I'd love to have you back on and talk more about this stuff maybe at the end of the summer or into the fall. I really appreciate your work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And have a good time in Oregon. Be safe.
All right.
Thank you.
Enjoy that ice cream cone at Baskin-Robbins 7 months late. Love that. Happy birthday. It's not my birthday, but I'll take the ice cream cone. Really rich stuff from the LA Times. I wanted to have him on because I really started thinking about him during March Madness. I'm in Indianapolis, and I'm tweeting about Oregon State, and you know we're talking about Oregon State and Oregon and USC and UCLA and the Pac-12. And Sondheimer, he messages me, and he's like, man, Jared Lucas, self-made player. He said, in high school, you didn't really see that he was going to be a star, but he was the son of a coach, and he just plays that way. And then I started thinking, like, this guy sees the talent before we see the talent. You know what I mean? Like, he's got a post-up position with the LA Times and covering preps where he has the vantage point of seeing all of these players before they really get to our radar, where we see them in college or see them late in their college careers. So it's really interesting and rich perspective from Eric Sondheimer. I want you to leave it here. Our Big Splash, the one thing you need to know today, is next. That was really rich stuff from Eric Sondheimer, Los Angeles Times. I love that he got a Baskin-Robbins ice cream cone. Says that's a good day. You know, as opposed to me, putting my cup of coffee in the island and taking a swing at it, you know, and entertaining everybody in the room while I knock coffee all over the room. Really rich stuff. Zach, I got to know what you thought of Sondheimer and his kind of his assessment of Southern California.
Yeah, it was really rich. What really stood out to me and I thought was fun and interesting to learn about was when he was covering the Ball brothers and when he mentioned that the coach just, you know, let them entertain. They wanted to entertain and he let them do the five slam a jamma, throw it off the backboard, do the crazy stuff. And that would have been quite the sight to see. I also thought it was neat that he got to cover John Elway way back in the day. That's one of the guys that I grew up when I was watching the Broncos in the mid-90s, late 90s. I was really young, John, but I do remember those two Super Bowls. It's probably the earliest memories for me of watching the NFL, seeing John Elway and Terrell Davis and all those guys.
And I love that he talked about kind of he could have had opportunities to go on and cover bigger things and, you know, at the LA Times, could have moved up and covered the Angels or covered the Dodgers or whatever as jobs opened up. And he seems to be joyful in, you know, carving out his territory and his turf and his beat, being the guy in Southern California when it comes to high school sports. So we'll get him back on. I thought he was really good. It brings us to our Big Splash. It is the one thing you need to know today.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
Must be the Big Splash.
Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, tensions were high between the New York Rangers and the Washington Capitals as the puck dropped on Wednesday. These teams went at it. Six separate fights to start the game at Madison Square Garden. All of this stemming from the league's lack of attention and punishment for Washington forward Tom Wilson, who in Monday's game punched one of the Rangers in the back of the head while he was face down on the ice. He was fined $5,000 while he was, for the punch, but was not suspended by the NHL. The Rangers responded with a statement blasting the league and the head of player safety. And then the Rangers apparently just took matters into their own hands. And this is a great example of what happens when the league or the officials, I don't care what sport you're in, if the officials aren't policing the game, if the league is not policing the game, the teams and the players will start policing the game. It's what happens. It happens in baseball with brushback pitches and benches clearing. It happens in the NFL. It happens in the NBA. We have seen it. And it happened at Madison Square Garden as six players were all docked for fighting 1 second into the game. The puck dropped and boom, six fights started. And by the way,
we interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.